If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, we've been on this series called The Power of Three. And I would suggest to you guys that you go on the website whenever you get a chance and listen to the rest of the messages. They will bless your heart. Amen. And for those of you guys that have been doing it, it's been a month, a little bit over a month or something. I know this whole month we've been on this series. I'm going to wrap it up today. Amen. So some of you guys, raise your hand if you don't have a Power of Three paper. We have a couple of them. And so that's just to get you caught up of what God is trying to do in this place. Amen. What God is trying to do in some people. And it's kind of like this, you know. We're always talking to God. I meet a lot of people that say they pray to God and they talk to God. And then they tell me, I got God right here in my heart. I don't need to go to church. But here's the thing. Whenever you're talking to God, whenever you're praying to God, he's always answering. Amen. He is always answering. He's not a God that won't answer your call. Just like if I'm talking to you right now and if we were having a one-on-one conversation, you know, most of the time I'm pretty sure you would answer me back, right, if I ask you a question. If you didn't, that'd be pretty rude, right? And so our God is always answering us, but we're not always listening to him. And so a lot of the times he's challenging us to do a couple things. He gives us directions in our lives, and if we take those directions, he's going to bless us. So he gives you the directions, but if you don't take the directions, he cannot bless you. Amen? And I illustrated last week, it's kind of like if somebody asked me, which way is California? And if I tell them, get on the freeway and just go west, you're going to hit it. And if they tell me, I don't think I want to do that. Well, then you can't get to California, right? Or if they tell me, well, you know what? I'm just going to go the opposite way. Well, you're going the wrong way, right? And so God gives us directions on what to take for our lives. Now, we're always asking him, God, I need this. You see me. I'm struggling here. God, I need. And he's like right there waiting. He's right there waiting, saying, just listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. And I will bless you. I got this. Amen. And so we're on the power of three. And he has challenged us to, for 3 months, to commit ourselves to God, to praise and to give. Now, commitment is one of those things that a lot of people, they want to see results, but they don't want to commit, right? When you work out, you want to see the results, but you're not willing to commit the full time to work out, right? And most programs, they take you about 3 months or whatever it is, or, you know, however long. And then we got to praise God. We talked about how when we praise God, so let me go through them. Commitment. Talent without commitment is useless. Understand that. If you have talent, if you have something that you could do great, but if you're not fully committed to that, it's useless. It will not go nowhere. There's a lot of people that are very talented, but they never do anything about it. They never fully commit to their talent, so they don't get nowhere. You know? And so don't expect greatness to come out of your life when you are half-stepping, right? And then we talked about praise. When you demonstrate your faith by being vocal and expressive about God's greatness, you allow him to demonstrate his great power on your life. The sounds of a cheering and celebration announces to the world that something great and victorious is about to happen. That's what praise is. When you praise God. Kind of like when we're at a stadium and the whole crowd just prays, right? Why? They're announcing to the world that something great is happening, that there's a touchdown being made or there's a hoop being made or, you know, if you like soccer, then a goal, right? And so that's what we're doing when we praise God. We're telling the world that there's something great's about to happen. And God loves the praises of his people. And when you praise, he's up there and he's watching it. And he goes, you know what, angels, go down there and bless them. They're praising. They're cheering for me. Go down there. Do something in their life. God gets excited. Amen. And then giving. Last week we talked about giving. We should live with the spirit of giving, with our tithes, our offering, with our time and talents. When we do these things, we are sowing seeds that God will transform and blossom into a fruitful harvest. Last week, and I did a great illustration about apples, right? I had some apples. You guys missed it. I gave everybody an apple. Well, little pieces. They fell on the floor first, and then I gave them to you. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't do that. So today, we're just wrapping it up, amen? Tell your neighbor, we're wrapping it up. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And I'm only going to preach on three verses, okay? If you need a Bible, I think we got some free Bibles over there, so you can grab one. 1 Timothy 4, 8, verse 8. And then if you want to write it down, we're going to go to Matthew 19, verse 26. After that one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. We're just going to stop right there. Can I tell you something that we were watching some Ultimate Fighting last night, and Mike, you saved the day. I thank you for that. And, you know, some of the guys, we got together and we were watching UFC. And what I realized something is that the main event at the end only lasted like less than a minute, right? I mean, it was over real quick. But now get this. These guys, they train for a very long time. I mean, they train hard. They're training. They're doing all these physical things for their body, getting ready for the main now, all it takes is one little act of a good punch or something great that they do, and it's over. All that training, all that hard work for months and months and months, just for that 1 minute. Let me tell you something. The strongest muscle in your body is your mind. That's the strongest muscle in your body. It is your mind. A mind that is weak will give up when it gets hard, but a mind that is determined will stop at nothing. See? What the Bible says right there, the physical training is good, okay? Don't get me wrong. When you're working out and you're training and all this, those are good, okay? But what is better is godliness. Training for godliness is much better. Why? Because it promises benefits in this life and the life to come, which is where heaven. So when you're training your mind, when you're training yourself, and what we've been doing this whole month with the power of three, why God was taking you through all those things, why God do I have to do this? Why? Because he's training you. He's training you for that 1 minute. See, he's training you. And all it takes one little minute to change the whole course of your life. All it takes is one little moment to change the history of your life. For you to become a champion, all it takes is 1 minute. Right? Just 1 minute. But what? You have to train. You have to train. You can't get in there just to get in there. You have to train. And so what God is doing, he's been training your mind. He's been training your thoughts. He's been training the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act, by being committed to God. He's been training you, right? What better trainer can you have than God? Rocky Balboa's trainer didn't have nothing on God. What was his name? Mick? All I remember is, cut me, Mick. Cut me. Cut me, Mick. Right? Cuts his eye. See, God wants to draw you close to him, to train and empower you into an unstoppable force. A disciple. That's what we do in this place. Disciple. See, they didn't stop at anything. Before, they were cowards. They were weak. They were nobodies. They didn't have the teaching. They didn't have the intelligence. They didn't have the degrees. Right? They didn't go through college. They didn't have the money. Right? But they got close to Jesus. When they got close to Jesus, Jesus was training them. They were with them wherever he went. And then they did great things that nobody was able to imagine what they were going to do in their lives. They used to look at them and say, oh, those are the nobodies. Those are the nothings. All the big churches used to look at them and say, they ain't nobody. But see, when you draw close to God, when you let him train you, when you let him train your thoughts, let him train how you act about certain things, when certain things don't go exactly the way you want them, but you change your mindset about how you react to those things, the way you react to those things can make the difference. Let me give you an illustration. This weekend, I figured, you know what, I'm gonna do a green screen and shoot like a really fast music video in my house. So I did a green screen. I set it all up and everything, and I'm doing it, and guess what? It didn't work. So I take it down. I reset it all again. I do all kinds of stuff. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm going to make the best out of this day, right? And so I did the whole green screen. I did it, and it wasn't working. It's like, oh, man. Took it down. I did a whole new other green screen. Changed a different color. Wasn't working. Switched up my lighting. Wasn't working. Now, get this. You have to test it out. So I would set it all up. Change clothes real quick. Get in the, you know, I'm the director. I'm the, you know, I'm everything. I'm doing everything, okay? I'm the worker. I'm the laborer. I'm the lighter. I'm doing everything, okay? Doing like 10 jobs at once, running around. And then I have to wipe the sweat off so I don't look all sweaty in the camera, right? And so I'm sitting there, and then I do my wrap and everything, and then I go, I take the chip out of there, I put it in the computer, and I'm just, it's not working. Go back over there, change things around, do it again, right? From that morning till that night, midnight, I kept trying. Now, another person would have gave up real quick and say, I don't have the equipment, right? I don't have the stuff. I'm not rich, so I can't, you know, I don't have the big studio. They would have gave up. They wouldn't have been committed. From 6 o'clock in the morning to 12 midnight, they wouldn't have been committed. Okay? I didn't go outside. I didn't see daylight. I didn't see nothing. Okay? I don't even know if I ate. Okay, but I was committed. When I set my mind on trying to accomplish something, I'm very mind-oriented, and sometimes I don't tend to be the nicest person, so I know that. My wife has to put up with me, because I'm just like, I'm going to get this done some way, somehow. I'm going to figure this out until I get it done, right? And then I think right now I kind of have it the way I want it now, finally, and maybe. Might still be working on it. If you see another music video come out, then I got it. If you don't, then he's still working on it. But that's what I did. But I will not stop. See, I will keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying until I get it right. I'm determined. Amen? Nobody has to pat me on the back and say, you're doing a good, or you know what? No. I'm motivating myself. Why? Because my mind is set on God and what he has told me I can do. And what he has told me I can do is all things are possible, right? All things. And so I believe in that. Now, if I don't get it the first time, I'm going to try again. I'm not a quitter. And so check this out. Go to Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen. See, with man, things are very impossible. People will always tell you, "Oh, you cannot change. I know you. You can't do that. Oh, you come from a small town. You ain't never going to be nothing. There's nothing here. There's nobody. There's nothing. You can't do anything. Oh, those dreams? Nah, you got to move to New York. People will drive you crazy with their negativity. Right? And so what does the word say? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when you get close to him, when you let him train your mind, your way of thinking, when you let him train the way you think, you see things differently, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I don't care what your dreams are. I don't care what you're trying to achieve in this life. You can say, "Well, Pastor, I just gave up because that's just too hard." No, listen, with God, maybe it's too hard for man, but with God, all things are possible. Go to Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot of great things, and it's talking about faith. You can probably read that whole chapter later. I'm going to show you guys something. How many of you guys know that you have faith? You have faith. Everybody in this world has faith. I'm going to tell you that. We were born with faith. Watch, read this. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Watch. Look at where you're sitting right now. Look at your seat. None of you guys looked at your seat, huh? You guys are like, "Well, we know the seat's here. We're sitting on it. I mean, why do I got to look at it?" Right? Understand something. When you guys sat on that seat, you guys did it by faith. You guys were believing that it was going to hold you, right? You had to. Now, it could have broke. It could have went under you. I could have booby-trapped every single seat of these. Right? You probably wouldn't like me by then. But you guys had faith. You guys had faith enough that it was that you guys were going to, the seat was going to hold you. By faith, you drove here. By faith, you got up this morning and you were able to walk. You believe that your feet were going to carry your body. Everybody has faith. Now, what you have faith in, that's a whole different story. Now, see, you don't see the oxygen you breathe. You don't see the wind. Right? You don't see the wind. Like, well, I kind of see it. No. You see the effects of the wind. You don't see the wind. Okay, you see the trees blowing, you see things moving, you see the dust maybe that gets in your eyes out here in the desert, right? All over your face. When you see a painting, you don't really see the painter, but by faith you know that there was a painter that painted the painting, right? You say, "Well, somebody did a great job. That's a good-looking painting." By faith you see a building. And you don't see the architect or you don't see the workers, but you know that somebody had to build it, right? It's there. Somebody had to draw it all out. By faith, people are moving in the building, right? Now, let me tell you something. God is the architect. God is the painter. God is your maker. He is the maker of the world. He's the one that created all this thing. You don't see God, but you see creation. You see God, all the things around you, you can tell that somebody had it created. Even your little chromosomes and all those things that you have inside. A lot of times there's crosses in your DNA. They're finding out, they keep looking more and more. It's like crosses. God is putting his mark on everything in this world. He has created everything. He has created you. He is the maker. So we might not see God, but you can see the effects of God all around you. All around you. So you already have faith in other things. I'm going to tell you, why not put your faith in God? Get that faith towards God. Put it in towards God and see the effects that he builds in your life. Put it in towards God and trust him that he's going to work things out. See, this whole commitment, this whole thing about you listening to God and God working in your life, and if you do these things, you're doing this by faith. He's building your faith up. He's building your faith higher and higher. So you start believing in bigger and bigger things in your life. Whenever you work out, you know, if you got to wait, if you're working out your bicep, right? Keep working at it. You keep working at it. And sooner or later, you'll have biceps like me. Right? No, but you do. You keep working at it. It gets bigger. It gets bigger, right? That's what God is doing. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your life. To break you out some things, to bless you with some things, to create a harvest of blessings, not just a little blessing, but to create a harvest of blessings upon your life. These things are promised to you. They're in the Bible. Whatever he said you can do, whatever he said you can have, it is yours. But get this, you must take his instructions and do it the way he tells you to do it. You can't do it the way you want to do it. See, when God created us, he created us to be blessed, right? All things were good that he created. Everything was good that he created. He created to bless us. He created for us to prosper. That was his plan. We disobeyed his plan and thus became sinful. When he said, "Don't, you can have everything. Just don't touch this. You can have everything." Now, if you don't, I explained to you guys last week why you can touch that, right? That was God's, for him to work more in your life. So, when we try to do it our way, when we say, "Nah, God, I know better," and you know what, I'm not going to listen to you. I know what I'm doing. And we just get deeper and deeper in the hole, right? And God is like, "I'm right here. I'm right here. Just talk to me. Just do it this way. Watch. I'm going to bless you if you just go this way. This way. This way is the right way." And we're like, "Nah, God, I think I'm going to go this way." Right? "I think I'm going to go east to get to California." Doesn't work when we do it our way. And so God wants to build you. God wants to draw you closer, because when you get closer to God, you get more empowered. He trains you. He trains your mind. The way you think of things isn't the same. The way I used to think back in the day is not the same. I used to complain and complain and complain all the time about my life. But when people used to tell me, "Well, come to church," I'm like, "Ah, I don't want to. I don't want to listen to God, right? I wanted to do it my way." Well, my way got me more depressed. My way got me more in a deeper mess. Depressed, deeper mess, that's a pretty good rhyme. did. And so this is the challenge. You know, commit to God by letting him speak into your life, by praying, reading, and don't miss church on Sundays. I know sometimes I don't even want to feel like getting up myself. I don't feel like getting up every single Sunday and come here and preach, but I do it. Why? Because God's going to bless you, and he's going to bless me, right? Because I'm committed, right? And so we do that by praising God when you get up in the afternoon, at night, when things are going great, when you're tired or when you're having a bad day, just give him thanks. Give him thanks because you don't know what he's working out in your life. You don't know there could have been and that delayed would have stopped you from getting in that big accident. So while you're complaining, God is like, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to save you. Right? By giving financially of your time and of your talents, give to God your time. Give to God your talents. When you do that, you're sowing seeds. Give to God financially. When you do that, you're sowing seeds in your life. You will reap what you sow. The Bible says that you will reap what you sow, right? Other religions, I call it karma, right? Some people will say, well, you do good things, you know, good things will come to you. You're sowing good seeds. When you give to the poor, God's going to bless you. He sees you. When you give of your time to him, he's going to build you up for you to fight bigger and better obstacles in your life. So when you get in that ring, all you need to do is throw one punch and the devil's out. You've won. You're the champion. Amen? God wants to do some great things in your life. Understand that. God wants to change this town that we call Buckeye. I see a lot of people just stuck in drugs, just sad and, you know, depressed, and they need help, but they need people like you saying, hey, you know what? You can do better with your life, right? Come to church. Come on. Come with me. Let's go talk to God. Amen? I see a lot of people. You know what? You know what my biggest frustration is? I'll tell you, okay? I run out of flyers all the time in my car. Whenever I see somebody and I want to invite them to church, I was like, I don't have no more flyers. I get so frustrated. Right? A lot of times I talk to people. Just talk to them anywhere. I don't care. I'll pray with them anywhere. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. He's going to bless them. He's going to bless me. Right? So when you obey God, he blesses you. When you give him of your time, he blesses you. You know, like I said before, if you hunger for God, the more you hunger for God, the more he's going to bless you. The more you want from God, the more he's going to give you. Plain and simple. Now, in the tithing, we've talked about the tithing. We talked about the money. Okay, the biggest gurus in history. They'll tell you, we don't know why, but if you give, it keeps coming. Well, God said it in his word. He said it first. Amen? And you would have to listen to the last message because I'm not going to repeat it. So. But listen to it because it will bless you. It will make a lot of sense on why Christians tithe. Okay? It will make a lot of sense. You want to be financially blessed? Go listen to the last message. Because there's a certain way that God wants to bless his people with finances. He wants to bless them with all aspects of life. A lot of people don't believe that Christians should be blessed financially. Why not? Who better than you guys to bless other people, to help the homeless, to help more people, right? Right? You guys have the power. So God wants to bless you so you may be a blessing, right? He does, but you have to do it his way. His way is prosperous. You have to take his instructions. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to do it his way. I'm going to do it God's way. My way ain't working. Right? We always say it's my way or the highway. You're on the highway because it ain't working. Try God's way. God says, try me. Try me and see if I don't open the gates of heaven and bless you with a big blessing that you cannot contain. You're not able to hold. Now, God is a big God. He doesn't give little blessings. He gives big blessings. They're huge. But you must listen to his instructions. The way he's telling you to do it and watch what happens. Now, like I said, I was doing my green screen and everything, and I was trying it all my way and everything, and finally I took a little breath, and I was like, God, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong, God? What's going on? And then I found a YouTube video about my lighting that I had forgotten. I knew it, but I had forgotten. So it was like God reminding me, right? But get this. Probably wouldn't have happened if I didn't ask God, right? Because I was trying to do it my way. I was trying to do it my way. But when you take that little time, hey, God, what do I need to do in my life? Things do I need to, steps do I need to take to change my life around? I'm tired of stuck in this hole. I'm tired of stuck in this mess. I'm always doing this. I'm always doing that. And I'm never getting anywhere, right? Take God's instructions. Take God's instructions. These are his instructions. This is your challenge for your life. God wants to do some great things in your life. God wants to turn around some things. God wants, and I see some of you guys, I've told you guys that within a month you guys were going to get blessed, right? Some of you guys been getting blessed. The ones that have been dedicated to doing what God wants to do in your life, you've been getting blessed. I see it. And so just be dedicated to him. When you're committed to God, God's committed to you. Listen, he already showed you how committed he was to you by dying on the cross. He already did it for you. He said, I'm taking all his sins. I'm putting them on me, and I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to go through hell. I'm going to be buried in a stinking tomb, right? For you. He did that for you. He already showed his commitment towards you. He already did that. Now, can you be committed to God? Be committed to him. And see what he doesn't do in your life. See the great things that he can change around. If you're looking for a miracle, God knows how to create a miracle in your life. If you're looking for healing, God can heal. God can heal. He has done many great miracles in my life and many great healings in my life and many great things in my life. And I'm nobody special, so he could do it for you too. Amen. Let's stand up real quick. I would suggest to you guys that have missed anything or anything, just go on the website. It's right there. It's free. Tell your neighbor, it's free. It's right there. I would suggest to you that you apply these principles in your life and see what God does in your life. Just try it. Just try it. That's it. God says, just try it my way. See if I don't bless you. Now, you've tried it every other way. You've tried the Atkins diets. You've tried all these things, right? You've tried many seminars. You've tried all these things that they sell you on TV, right? They say you all kinds of crazy things. You know, real estate to whatever, to all these things. Now, at the end, they leave you dry. They leave you dry and pointless. God doesn't. When he created you to be great. He created you in his image. His image is great. But during this People have told you, oh, you're nobody, you are nothing, or this is just the way it is, and you can't change that. We're in a small town. This is just the way it has to be. No, it's not. Break it. Do something different. Put God's principles in your life and see if he doesn't bless you. See if he doesn't change some things. See if he doesn't create a miracle. See if you don't get a breakthrough. See if he doesn't free you from some things. Addictions and all those things, right? See, and when you do that, when you apply these principles, God's going to create that harvest. When you labor for God, God's going to you. He's going to create a harvest in your life. Commit to God. Praise God. No matter what happens in your life, praise God. Just like they were praising God when the walls of Jericho fell down, right? The big, great wall, and all they did was praise God. And that big wall came tumbling down. Praise God. Amen? Don't matter how difficult it is. Don't matter what it looks like. Just give God some thanks that he's about to do it in your life. And believe him. Have faith in him. You put your faith and trust in all these other things. Now put your faith and trust in God and see what he does in your life. See what he does in your life. He wants you to prosper. Someone's about to get a blessing in him. You want a miracle? Praise God. Amen.